whenever family or friends or, those nosy neighbors or the people in the grocery line would say, "Oh, that's cute that you homeschool, but you're not going to do that in high school, right?" And actually, my initial answer for many years was, "No way. I'm not smart enough. I'm not organized enough. I can't do high school." So no. The Lord and my kids had other ideas. They really wanted to continue the journey. And so I just prayed really hard and knew that if this is what the Lord was calling us to do, right, he would make it happen and everything would be okay. And I am so glad that the Lord and my kids had other plans, because it was by far, when I say the Lord saved the best of homeschooling for last, he did. I thought the preschool years were fun, and I thought the little year, the wonder years were fun, but nothing compared to the high school years. It was just so much fun to be right alongside my kids as they discovered who they were.
Welcome to the Homeschool Compass podcast, a show that's all about finding confidence in community and help in the wisdom of those who've gone before. I'm your host, Amy Otto, and I'm so glad you're here today because we have an amazing conversation for you with Carrie DeFrancisco. Some of you might know her from her website and her podcast, Coffee with Carrie. She is here to answer all your questions and mine about homeschooling during the teen years. Carrie is a mom to two homeschool graduates. She lives in Southern California, and she has written a fantastic book that you are going to want to have right beside you throughout the high school years. It's called Homeschool High School, A Handbook for Christian Education, and it gives us all the information we need to create a high school experience for our kids that is tailored to their interests and their future goals, whatever God is calling them to. If you have been anxious about the teen years, or you're not sure that you have what it takes to homeschool high school, you are going to leave this conversation with Carrie excited about all there is to enjoy about homeschooling during the teen years. So thank you for being here. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Carrie DeFrancisco. Welcome to the Homeschool Compass podcast, Carrie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I am so excited to be here. And it's so great to finally meet you in person.
Oh, same. Yes. I'm so excited for your book and for the blessing that I know it's going to be to so many families. It's already helped me so much. So I'm excited for people to hear more about your journey and homeschooling through high school. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what your family is up to and how you got started down this homeschool path?
You bet. Let's see. I'm now officially a retired homeschooling mom. So a couple of years ago when my youngest graduated, we homeschooled all the way through high school. So when my youngest graduated, I had to officially remove the homeschool mom hat and put on the retired mom hat. But that's okay. I'm loving this part of it. But we started our homeschooling journey pretty much by accident. I'm one of those accidental homeschoolers. I never had any intention of homeschooling my kids. I was a classroom teacher. It just kind of happened. My daughter wanted to try it, and my husband was like, "Well, okay, we'll try it for a year and see how it goes." And, the rest is history. But I've been married to my husband for 29 years this coming November. And we have two kids, Francesca and Joseph, and they're both adults. Francesca is now 25. She's a psychologist working in the heart of LA. And my son is actually finishing up his bachelor's degree in business this coming summer. So he's going to be a college grad pretty soon too. So yeah, that's pretty. We live in Southern California. So we did all of this in the crazy state of California. And it's been fun. It's been a fun journey.
I wonder how you would describe how you approached homeschooling. There's so many different styles and methods and approaches. What would you say resonated with you all?
Yeah, I think when it comes to homeschooling, I have multiple personalities. So I often tell people I'm Charlotte Mason inspired, classically infused, interest-led, unit-based unschooler.
I love that. Okay.
So basically an eclectic homeschooler, but I know. We started off very traditional, like I think a lot of moms do, because a lot of moms aren't second generational homeschoolers. And so we do what we know, and we know school, right? So we started off very traditional, lots of textbooks, and very quickly moved to classical. And from there, we kind of toned it down and did a Charlotte Mason kind of approach. And then from that into a lot of interest led. And then by the time my son was in high school, I think we can officially say we were 100% unschoolers. So, yeah.
Okay. I think you're right. I think a lot of families are real tight and rigid at the beginning and then gradually embrace the flexibility and start to trust that it's all going to be okay and things get a little gentler as time goes on. So, were you all in with homeschooling high school? Did you always know that was going to be the path, or did you struggle a little bit to come to that decision?
Well, I think of homeschooling, I absolutely loved everything about home education and just being home with the kids and learning right alongside them and all the really cool stuff we got to do. But whenever family or friends or, those nosy neighbors or the people in the grocery line would say, "Oh, that's cute that you homeschool, but you're not going to do that in high school, right?" And actually, my initial answer for many years was, "No way. I'm not smart enough. I'm not organized enough. I can't do high school. So no, I'm going to put them in high school." The Lord and my kids had other ideas. And so when we sat down with my daughter, like it was like her eighth grade year, and we just kind of said, "So what are you thinking? Do you want to keep homeschooling for high school, or do you want to go to high school?" And she was like, "Are you kidding? Why would I give up this gig? This is awesome. I want to stay home." And she already knew what she wanted to do, and so she was very driven. And so she knew that by staying home for high school, she would be able to really chart like her own course and kind of do that. And so she was like, "No, I want to stay home." And my son, he was like, "Oh yeah, I get to sleep in. Why am I going to traditional school?" So my kids had the idea that they really wanted to continue the journey. And so I just prayed really hard and knew that if this is what the Lord was calling us to do, right, he would make it happen and everything would be okay. And I am so glad that the Lord and my kids had other plans, because it was by far, when I say the Lord saved the best of homeschooling for last, he did. I thought the preschool years were fun, and I thought the wonder years were fun, but psh, nothing compared to the high school years. It was just so much fun to be right alongside my kids as they discovered who they were. So yeah, that's how we came to the homeschooling all the way through high school.
Okay, I want to hear more about this. Can you tell us some of the benefits, some of the things that you really enjoyed about the teen years? I'm always on the lookout for people who don't give in to the doom and gloom around adolescence and, the teen years. And so I'm so excited that that was your story. I think we need to hear more from, voices like yours, because the cultural narrative is really kind of depressing around teenagers. So tell us more.
It really is. And I'm not going to say it's because of me. It was obviously because of the Lord. But I knew when the kids were younger, I hate the grocery line, right? Would say, "Oh, your kids are so cute, but just wait until they're teens," right? We did a lot of things intentionally to make sure that, my kids had a great relationship together and that we had a great parent, child relationship. But with that said, I could go on and on and on about the advantages of homeschooling the high school years. But the main one, obviously, is that a lot of us come home to homeschool or keep them home in high school because we want to make sure that they're grounded in the truth. And so when you homeschool through high school, you really can base everything around God's word. It can be completely biblically based. Everything that you do can be taught from a Christian worldview. And so that's an awesome advantage right there. So whenever the kids or my teens would have issues or things would come up or some stuff was happening in the world, we could talk about it and what the Bible says and what the Lord says about it and what our family, what our values are. And we could talk our way through those things, where if they're in a traditional brick and mortar school, someone else has their attention the majority of the day. And so my husband and I got to be their main person right? And so we were the ones that when they needed advice, they naturally came to us instead of their peers or that teacher or, you know, that counselor at school. So we became that person for our teens. And so that was awesome. And yes, there are a lot of moms out there who have that with their kids and they go to a brick and mortar. But when you homeschool through the high school years, you just have naturally more opportunities because you're with your kids more to build that type of relationship with your kids. And so I think that really helped homeschooling through high school really helped change that narrative for our family that, you know, we didn't have those crazy. Yeah, we had eye rolling and we had some door slamming every now and then, but we didn't have a lot of the yuckiness, you know, that you're just told is going to naturally happen because that's just what teens do. And no, that's not what teens do. They're wonderfully and fearfully made. They're awesome people. But it all depends on the environment they're in. So that's definitely one advantage to it. But the other one that my daughter, the reason she wanted to stay home was because you have such freedom and flexibility when you homeschool the high school years, especially the teens. They just have so much time that they can chart their own course. They have so much time when they're home doing high school at home to discover who God has created them to be. They have the freedom and the flexibility and the time to discover those gifts and those passions. And then when they do figure it out, now they have lots of time to build those skills and invest in those passions and to pursue those dreams. And they could start that while they're in high school, you know, when they actually are mentally ready to do that kind of stuff. But our society says that they're not, you know. And I totally disagree with that. I think teens, if given the opportunity, will rise mightily to the occasion. So, yeah, I hope that answered your question. But I do feel like there's just so many advantages to homeschooling the high school years that why wouldn't you? You know, that's always my question when someone asks, should I? I'm like, that's not the question. You should be saying, why wouldn't I? Because it's just such a fabulous experience, especially to learn right alongside your kids too. I didn't realize how dumb I was until I started homeschooling. And I realized, oh my gosh, there are so many gaps in my own education. And so while my kids were learning, I got to learn right alongside them too. So that was a lot of fun as well.
One of my favorite parts of your book, Carrie, is how you give so many ideas of how teenagers with their parents' help can sort of craft courses for high school that are so tailored to their children's unique interests and what they're passionate about. Like your daughter, you talk about a lot, was so into dance, and you kind of use that to craft certain ways of filling out her high school courses that were really meaningful to her and perfectly suited to her passions and gifts.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And that's the other thing. When you're homeschooling high school, you want to make sure your teen is involved in the planning. So a lot of that had to do with my daughter and my son. I would ask them at the beginning of every summer, you know, what is it that you want to learn this year? What are your goals? And then that's part of homeschooling through high school, especially if you've been homeschooling all the way through. Your role changes in high school. Before you were their primary teacher, and now you become their mentor, their PA, their personal assistant. You're the one who's finding the opportunities and making their goals happen, right? And so they do all the work, but you're the one who's finding the classes or making the phone calls or finding the mentor who can speak truth into them or help them with an internship or, you know, whatever it is. Or so that part of it was a lot of fun to make sure that they were included in the planning. And yes, there were certain things they had to do just because the state, quote unquote, required certain things, but we could still be creative in how we met even those requirements. I'm glad you enjoyed that part of the book, that because I think that's like the meat of the book is how to do each of the different subjects.
Yes. Yeah. You described how, you know, for any given course, you would come up with three or four options that you would feel good about them picking as a way to meet those requirements. And then that they would have the opportunity to kind of try them out or test out the curriculum and look at it and say which one they would choose. So you kind of curate for them the mm-hmm. options, but they still have a lot of freedom to say, you know, I really think a regular course is going to be great for me, or no, I want to, you know, do this totally off the wall way of meeting this requirement. And you have already kind of pre-selected things that you are going to feel comfortable with. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, because budget's a big thing, right? And so I would pick out stuff that I knew fit in our budget, that I knew was either biblically based or taught from a Christian worldview, or it would meet the goals that they were looking for. And then I would, a lot of times, just let them pick out of those choices what they felt like met their needs or what they were looking for. So, yeah.
Okay. We had a lot of questions from the Homeschool Compass community for you. I always try to reach out to our followers and say, what do you want to ask Carrie? So the first question that came up was, how do you approach scheduling in the high school years? Because obviously this changes a little bit from when we have real little kids and we mm-hmm. can kind of dictate the family rhythm. In the teen years, we want to give them a lot more autonomy, right? About when they're completing their work and how they're meeting their requirements.
Yeah, I kind of started to talk a little bit about that, how your role changes from being the teacher to their personal assistant. But basically, when it comes to scheduling, I find it's best if you schedule your teen's day more, or their week, in blocks of time instead of in like a kind of more strict kind of schedule that you might have with the younger ones, or because you have a large family and for your own sanity, you have to do things a certain way. But once they get into high school, it becomes more of where you sit down with them at the beginning of the week, you go over with them your expectations for them, or if they're taking outside classes, what is expected of them from their different teachers, whether it's homework or tests or whatever, and you help them plan out their week. And by this point, by the time they're a sophomore, junior, senior, they know their schedules better than you. So if they're highly involved, like in sports or in, you know, choir or whatever, they know their schedule actually better than you. And so, you know, you sit down with them at the beginning of the week, you go over your expectations, what else is required of them, maybe around the house, their chores, maybe they have a job, whatever it is. And then their interest or their activities that they're involved in. And you help them figure out what needs to be done and when, but then you give them the freedom to get that stuff done at their own pace when they know they have the time to do it. And it's kind of like, all right, here's all the stuff. Here's all the things that's expected of you from everywhere. Make sure it's done by Friday. You know, so you give them the week, you give them the autonomy to figure out when's the best time to do it. And then on Friday, I would sit down with them again and we go over whatever it was they needed to go over, right? Sometimes they would come to me in the middle of the week and be like, hey, Mom, can you read this essay, or can you edit this for me or whatever? Or I'm having trouble with this. But basically, the things we did together was our Bible time. We still did read aloud when they were in high school. So we did read aloud and had great conversations together. And we had every meal together. So during breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we had conversations. And during those conversations, I would check in with them and how are things going? And so if you kind of look at, because there's no such thing as a typical day, a normal high school day for a homeschooler is not normal. It really depends on the kid and their schedule and all that kind of stuff. But if you kind of gauge 3 to 3.5 hours of actual, like, quote unquote, schoolwork, then the rest of the day is theirs, you know, to pursue those dreams or work on the book they're writing or compose the music that they're composing. Or so, yeah, scheduling really is more of a block kind of a thing.
I imagine there might be some moms listening who say, my teenager isn't interested in anything. They're not motivated to do anything. All they want to do is play video games or, you know, fill in the blank. How do you approach mm-hmm. that situation as you're planning a high school homeschool?
Yeah, with those kids, it's the one where you come up with the things you want them to do. And you base it off of either skills or gifts that you see in them that you would like for them to develop or pursue. And you just put them in those classes, you give them those assignments, you work on that stuff with them. And it just becomes a little bit more, I don't want to say structured, but a little bit more, no, this is what you're going to do. But I always did it on a semester basis. So by the second semester, like I made my son do a coding class because all he wanted to do for a while was just play whatever it was he was playing with his buddies. He was lucky him. He was one of those COVID kids. So the only way he could hang out with his buddies in high school was to play on the video, right? And that was when he could talk with them. And so it got to the point where that's all he really wanted to do. And so I was like, no, you're going to take a coding class. And so for a semester, I made him take this coding class online, and he hated it. But it helped us realize that, okay, this is definitely not an area that you want to go into. But there does come a point with some of those kids who just don't really know what they want to do, and they're not motivated to do anything. You just start putting them in different stuff. And eventually, something's going to stick. I think I tell the story in the book, but my daughter, she has really great speaking skills. She's, you know, a thespian. She loved being on stage. And there was this mock trial class that I really wanted her to do. And she was adamant. She was like, I do not want to take this class. And I said, it's going to be good for you. You take this class. And she says, great, but I don't want to do the lawyer bit, because she hates anything that has to do with, you know, that kind of stuff. So she went up to the teacher and she says, well, what can I do? I don't want to be the lawyer. And she says, well, you could be one of the expert witnesses. And she says, great. What's one of the expert witnesses? And she said, it's a psychologist who, you know, testifies on behalf of these different disorders. And that's what you do. And she's like, great, I'll do that. Well, because she did so much research to figure out, you know, what she had to say on behalf of this expert witness who was a psychologist, that's when she realized how much she loved that field. And from that day on, she changed all of her goals for the rest of her high school so that she could graduate early and she could go into psychology and get a master's and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm going to take credit because I made her take a class she didn't want to take. She actually discovered her purpose in life and what God had created her and called her to do. So yeah, I'm not That's taking credit. Amazing. I'm just being facetious.
Moms have some good ideas sometimes, though.
We do sometimes, yeah.
Okay, that's really helpful. Another question that we got was this whole issue of transcripts. Like, everyone's very overwhelmed about transcripts, right? We want help. What do we do about the transcript, Carrie?
You know, it's amazing. That is the first question I get all the time. How do I create a transcript? Or will a college even accept my transcript? And so the answer to that is yes, they will. They will accept a homeschool transcript. But it is like the least of your worries. It's the easiest thing that you're going to be asked to do with your students homeschooling through high school. But first of all, there's tons of services, online services that you can pay. Like, for instance, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they have a transcript service. So I forget what the fee is, but it's very nominal. You pay that fee, the template's there, you fill it, it literally walks you through the process. And then you pay whatever the fee is, and you print up this professional, official transcript. So there's tons of other services out there, academicrecords.net and fasttranscript.com. Of course, there's tons of templates online that you can look at in my book. I even have a whole bunch of samples and templates in the appendix. So really, creating a transcript shouldn't really be that stressful for the moms. But basically, all the transcript is, it's really your student's academic resume. So you're just listing out in very general form, you know, general information, what they covered each year. So you just want to make sure that you have it broken up into the 4 years, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and you list off in each of those years what they covered. Again, in the most general sense, if possible, right? So you could just even call it English 9 for if they did any kind of English literature composition their freshman year, you can label it as simple as that. But yeah, the transcripts, you just want to make sure you list off what they learn each year, how many credits they got for it. In most states, it's one credit per class, the year they took it, and their grade. And I think that's really what stresses moms out. It's not necessarily how to create the transcript, but how do I grade my kids. And, you know, so, but yeah, the transcript is super easy. Don't stress over it, moms.
One of the things you talk about in the book that I thought was really helpful was the big thing with the transcript, it seems like, is that you just start keeping track of some of these things as you're going along. If yep. you wait until it's over and then you're trying to remember what did we do in ninth grade, that's when it becomes super stressful. But you talk about how you kind of had your kids make a log. That was part of their responsibility mm-hmm. to sort of track certain things. And I'm sure that was a big help to you when you're pulling together the transcript at the end.
Yeah. So when I was talking about earlier about how I would meet with the kids on Mondays, they had like a notebook and it was basically their academic to-do list. And I would just list off the things that they had to get done by Friday. And as they did those things, they checked it off. That helped me keep track. If they took any tests, because maybe their math program had tests or whatever, or if they took a test in an outside class, they kept record of that. Any books they were reading, you know, they kept a record of that. But I think the trick was, like you said, at the end of each academic year, I filled in their transcript for that year. So therefore, I could remember what they did. And you never know, because sometimes when they go for a work permit, they don't have a diploma yet. And so sometimes the employer will ask for a transcript, or they want to enter a community college, and sometimes they'll ask for a transcript. If they're a student athlete, the NCAA is going to ask for their transcript when they're trying to figure out if they're eligible. So there might be points during their high school years that someone requests a transcript. So it's always a good idea that at the end of the year, you just fill in that year. And that way, when they graduate, you just punch in graduated and you put the date and the deed is done.
Perfect. Okay. And there's a lot, I mean, there's a ton more in your book that goes into detail about all of these and forms, like you're saying, that people can use. So definitely get the book and that'll help clear a lot of this up too. The last question we got from the Homeschool Compass community was just trying to understand the distinction between honors classes versus AP classes versus CLEP tests. Can you help people understand a little bit what some of those different things mean and what they're for?
Yes. So first of all, let's start with the AP class, because a lot of moms think that they can't get AP credit if they don't take an AP class. And in most co-ops around the United States, doesn't matter what state you live in, most of them are not going to have a quote unquote AP approved class because they get approved by the state, okay, or through the public school system. Just because your student doesn't take an AP class doesn't mean they can't take the AP test. So if you have a student who would like to spend their entire year studying for, let's say, the AP chemistry exam, that's all the AP classes are in high school. It's the teachers helping them prep for the class, right? So they're prepping at home using some sort of, you know, Barron book or whatever. And then you, the mom, contact your local high school down the street, not your school district, but the local high school where you live, and you ask for their testing administrator or their register person, and you ask them if your homeschooler has permission to take the AP exam with their kids. And for the most part, they always say yes, because all they want is the fee. So if you pay the AP exam fee, then they will make room for your child. Okay. So you can't go to the College Board website and register your child to take an AP exam. You do have to go to the local school to ask permission and to get them in. And if they say no, then you just call the school district, you know, a couple of miles away and see if your kid can take the AP exam there. So if they take the exam and they get a 4 or a 5, it really depends on the college they want to go to. So that's my other thing. Before a student spends the entire year studying for a particular AP exam that they want to take, to go to the different colleges that they're thinking of applying to and see what AP exams they accept and what score they have to get on it in order for that score to translate into college credit. Okay. So I would hate for your kid to take the AP chemistry and find out that USC doesn't accept that one, or you have to get a 5 and your kid got a 4. And in some universities, a 4 is great. Okay. So that's the AP. I always tell moms, if you're a homeschooler, I lean more towards the CLEP, which is basically, it costs a little bit more. I think they're like 120 per test. But when you pass one of the CLEP tests, it's actual college credit. And so instead of paying $1,200 a unit to take a college class, you're paying $120 to take a test that if you score high enough, or whatever the college says the score has to be, your student automatically gets those three credits or those four credits. Okay. So the same thing, if a student is a good test taker and would like to save money and time and would like to get a lot of their general eds out of the way, then go to the different college websites they're interested in and look and see if they take the CLEP, if so, which ones and what score, and their scores range. So they could go from 60 to 80. And then prep all year. You can use that as credit on your transcript, right? Because they're learning chemistry or they're, you know, learning English, whatever it is, the lit. And then you can register online at the College Board or at the CLEP website for the test. And they have them all around the United States at different testing centers. And your student can take the test. And if they pass it and they get the score that they need for that college, they literally get 3 units or 4 units, and you just save time and money, and they got college credit while they were in high school. So I lean more towards the CLEP route just because you don't have to go to the school district to ask permission. And then when it comes to honors, you're in charge of your transcript. So you can denote any class or subject or something that your student did as honors if you feel they went over and beyond. Okay. So the Homeschool Legal Defense Association says if a student does about 150 hours of something, they can get high school credit for it. So if your student is doing 200 hours or 250 hours doing a particular subject or topic, you can denote that on their transcript as honors. I also tell moms that if they're doing college level classes, like either through dual enrollment or online classes, and they're in high school, but they're doing college level classes, that's honors. So, I mean, you could denote that class that they're taking as an honors class. And if you use one of these services, you can even, it'll even ask you, do you want to do the 4-point system or the 5-point system, which is where sometimes the honors will come in. And so you don't even have to do the mathematical calculations if you decide to do honors, but yeah, you can denote anything as honors that you feel they go over and beyond doing.
Awesome. Thank you. That's very helpful. As we wrap up here, Carrie, I wonder if looking back on your years of homeschooling, is there anything when you look back that you think, gosh, I wish I would have done that differently?
Yeah, I think for me and for a lot of my friends who are now retired homeschooling, hands down, I think we would have slowed down. And we would have enjoyed the process a whole lot more because we're so worried that they're going to get behind or they're going to miss something or they're going to have these gaps or they're not going to be ready for college or whatever it is their choices are, because not everybody wants to go to college, that we push and we push and we rush and we rush and we stress over all the to-do lists. And they're really only with us for such a short, short amount of time, you know, underneath our roof. And that is the number one thing. I would have just slowed down and totally enjoyed all of it. Just, I would have enjoyed the messes. I know that sounds crazy, but now that our house is clean and it's quiet because nobody else is here but my husband and I, I miss the chaos. I miss the noise. I miss doing all the, well, I don't miss the laundry, but I miss cooking for everybody. So that's definitely something I would have done differently. And I encourage the moms that when you're feeling that comparison, that pressure, you know, that you got to push your kid because somebody else's kid is doing this, to just pray and ask the Lord, is this what you have for my child? Because it may be for my friend's kid, but is this for my teen? And enjoy the time. And once they get a driver's license, mama, your time is really limited with them. So, you know, you have their undivided attention when you're still their chauffeur and their Uber driver. But once they get their driver's license, then you really, you know, it's just such a precious, precious time. And I think the other thing I would have done differently is I would have gotten out of the way a lot sooner. I would have trusted the process. The Lord created them to be learning machines. And I think I was always my biggest problem. I truly believe this, that my kids learned not because of me, but in spite of me. And I just wish I could have moved myself out of the way and stopped being an obstacle sometimes and just let them do what the Lord was calling them to do in the way that they learn best and were called to do. And so, yeah, it would have nothing to do with the academics or the classes I put them in, or it would be my attitude towards how precious this time was, and that it was fleeting and it's short. And I wish I would have relished more of it with less stress.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's really mm-hmm. important for those of us that are still in the midst of this to hear those reminders mm-hmm. from moms who have completed the journey. It's so easy to get swept up in anxiety and fretting about if we're staying on track, but it's important that we slow down and enjoy the experience with our kids. Do you have anything else you would like to share with the homeschool moms and dads that are listening, Carrie? Any final words from you?
Yeah, I think I want to leave you with Isaiah 54:13. It became our family's homeschooling verse, and it says that the Lord will be the teacher of your children, and great shall be their peace. And so I had that verse everywhere around the house because it reminded me that truly the Lord is my kid's teacher, and he knows exactly what he created them for. He's the master teacher. And that if the Lord was calling us to homeschool, especially through high school, that he was going to make sure it happened in the way it needed to happen. And so if I just want to leave the moms and dads with, if the Lord's calling you to homeschool through high school, you can do it. Just rely on the Lord to fill in the gaps, because there will be gaps. We're not perfect.
I love that so much. Where can people find you, Carrie, if they would like to connect with you more? Tell the people more about what you have available. You have a wonderful podcast. There's over 200 episodes people can listen to. They can just click over to that. But you also have coaching and some other things that people can do.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the first place you can go, the best place to go to find me is at my website, coffeewithcarrie.org, and everything is there. So that will bring you to my podcast, which is called Coffee with Carrie. And like you said, we have over 200 episodes. Wow, I can't believe we got to that milestone. And every week I drop on a Thursday, just a different topic. It's always homeschool related. Sometimes it's a how-to, sometimes it's high school, just you never know. Sometimes I interview people like this, and sometimes it's just me kind of talking. I kind of want it to feel like we're in a coffee shop having a conversation. So you could find the podcast actually anywhere you listen to your podcast. You can find it there. But I also do consulting or coaching. So moms all the time, I Zoom with them, and I help them either get started homeschooling or help them get over a challenge that they might be having with a particular topic or child, or to help them get started with high school. I'm on Instagram, so you can find me at Coffee with Carrie Consultant, and I'm on TikTok. I have what I call my cooking chats. So I'm cooking dinner for my husband while I'm answering questions that people send me about homeschooling. So those are kind of fun to do. So yeah, I'm pretty much, and I speak, so I'll be at quite a few conventions and conferences this summer. So just go to coffeewithcarrie.org and it will bring you to all these things I just said.
Yes, we'll link to all of that in the show description as well. So definitely go connect with Carrie. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. This has been really wonderful. I'm so glad you wrote this book, and I'm so glad you're sharing your wisdom with the homeschool community. So thank you.
And thank you for having me. So much fun talking with you.
Thank you to each one of you for listening today. If you found that conversation helpful, be sure to grab your copy of Homeschool High School at christianbook.com. You can find the link in our show description to do that. You can also visit homeschoolcompass.com/podcast for links to the resources Carrie mentioned today, along with more ways you can connect with her. And if you know someone else who is thinking about homeschooling their teen, We would be so grateful if you would share this conversation with them. If you're new to the Homeschool Compass podcast, we would love for you to hit subscribe or follow in your podcast player so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. We have many more conversations coming up for you with homeschool veterans like Carrie, who have seen this process through to the end and can share their wisdom with us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of your homeschool journey. And until next time, remember, you are loved and you are not alone.